I want you to be prepared to verbally respond to a couple of questions, if you would. I want you to get the question clearly in your heart. How many of you believe that this is the holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant, immutable, irreversible, irreplaceable Word of God? Say amen.
Amen.
All right, may we take it a step further then. How many of you believe that to the absolute best of your ability, you should have at bare minimum a desire and then an effort to implement every detail that you can, understanding what the Bible says, into your daily life, even if it is a tough topic?
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
I certainly hope that you do. It's here on this Sunday night that we find another tough topic for today's church. Now, in this one, it's a little bit unique from some of the other ones that we have been discovering over the past few weeks. Because, as I mentioned this morning, this is going to be just as difficult for me to deliver as it is for you to receive. I don't want to give the wrong impression in anything that I've got to say. The only thing I can do is tell you that this is what the Bible says. Now, one of the purposes behind our Tough Topics for Today's Church series is to go through the Scripture and to highlight certain areas of the Bible that many believers today know nothing about because they are no longer being preached on in the modern church of our day. Therefore, they're tough topics. And in this case, it makes it a tough topic, and the reason many churches church members have never really heard of it is because pastors do not feel comfortable dealing with this subject when we come to Hebrews chapter 13. They don't feel comfortable talking to their congregation about it, and you're going to understand why in just a moment, but I believe that the Holy Spirit will help me, and I'm trusting that you will allow Him to help you. As you've got your Bible open in Hebrews chapter 13, I want you to look in verse number 17. Are you looking? Verse 17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourself." Why? "They watch for your soul, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy, not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." That'll be sufficient for now. We'll look at a couple of other verses of Scripture, but I'm going to simplify the title of this message in this tough topic to just simply this: the importance of spiritual leadership. The importance of spiritual leadership. Now, Holy Father, in Jesus' name, we bow before you and we confess our desperate and dire need of your help tonight. I pray, Father, that you would forgive me of every ungodly thing that is in my mind and in my life. You would cover me and purge me with the blood of Christ. I pray that you would anoint me and touch me tonight. And Lord, not only to present your word, but may it be received. And God, I pray people would see the heart by which it is delivered. And we'll thank you, and may God be glorified. And the people of God all said,
amen.
Thank you for standing. You may be seated. You know, in our daily lives, we are faced with all kinds of different forms of leadership that we have got to fall under. Doesn't matter what it is. In our homes, we fall under the leadership of a husband or a father or a parent or a guardian of sorts. Our children, they go to school and they fall under the leadership of a teacher or administrator, or they should need more of that in our day. Adults, they'll go to work and they fall under the leadership of a boss. Now, we walk into even a retail store and we fall under the leadership of a manager or a retail company, and we are to conduct ourselves with character and integrity with respect to theft and behavior and such things. We are to abide by the laws of the land. We are to fall under the leadership, and we obey city ordinances. We obey traffic laws, or most of the time we do. We pay our taxes because we fall under the leadership of our local and our federal government. In all of these areas and so many more that we could discuss, we have an understanding that there is a leadership structure in the life that we are living. Now listen to me. The only way that we are going to succeed in matters of life every day as we live is if we fall in line with the leadership that God has placed in that particular area. You see, we rarely have a problem with or push back against falling under the various forms of God-ordained leadership when it comes maybe to our spouse or our boss or our parents or our teachers, maybe even to a degree retailers, and to a degree even the government. Do you know something that I've learned over the years in my own life? And that I've learned over the years in the lives of many other people as well, is that somewhere deep down within our flesh, we have a problem falling in line with spiritual leadership. Understanding what spiritual leadership really is. And I think that's an important question that every one of us needs to ask in our heart. God being our helper, we're going to understand more about on this Sunday night. I love the book of Hebrews, don't you? The book of Hebrews, it is written to Hebrew believers. Of course, that would be in the New Testament church age. And when we come specifically to verse number 13, it is speaking directly, really more with dealing with how believers should display and dispense Christian love. Now, as you come through the book of Hebrews in chapter 13 and go all the way up through it, you are finding that the apostle here, the writer, you're finding that he is dealing with a variety of different things. But when you come to verse number 17, we find that in part, he is dealing this matter here of spiritual Christian love, and he is placing it all on the shoulders of this matter of the respect and the response that we are to have to spiritual leadership in our life. So as we consider this tough topic for today's church and this matter of the importance of spiritual leadership, I want you to study three wonderful truths from this verse and a few others on this Sunday night. And may God help us tonight to walk away understanding the importance of spiritual leadership. Now, the first thing that I want you to write down in your margin or your notes or type into your phone is simply this: the authority that is secured. And we need to get that. The authority that is secured. Now, I just mentioned a moment ago that the book of Hebrews, it is written to the Hebrew believers. Of course, they would have fallen under the auspices of the local church. And in the local church, we understand that there was one that had been set aside that was to have the leadership role. And if we were to look at the book of Titus in chapter 1, verse 5, and several other passages we could look at as well, the Bible word for this is elder, translated presbyteros. And it was meaning, basically, we translate that to what we would have today as the pastor. John Phillips put it this way, I like it, the Christian community. It is not a democracy where the majority rules, nor is it anarchy where people just do whatever they please, but it is a theocracy over which God rules through a pastor. That is what the Bible actually declares to us in this text. Now, when we talk about the importance of spiritual leadership, it is first that we need to understand that we have to fall in line under some form of leadership. We just don't run this direction or that direction. God has placed an order for this. I first want us to deal with this, with who this person is that we are to fall under the spiritual leadership to. That would be the pastor. And in the writer of this, we are finding this authority given to us, first of all, in how that pastor must, first of all, have a high calling upon his life. Now, we can't hear those words, high calling, without thinking of what the Apostle Paul told us way back in Philippians chapter 3, the 14th verse, where he told us, Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. A high calling. The Apostle Paul was referring simply to the call that God had placed on his life to be a teacher and the preacher of the Word of God. You know, I'd heard my whole life, Brother Timothy, from preachers my whole life, that there was no higher calling than that of which to be a preacher of the Word of God. You know, Brother Joel, I never fully understood it, though, until God called me to preach. I'm not telling you that I am anything or anyone special. You know me, and you know that I do not believe that at all. Not in the smallest, most minute way. But I can tell you that when God called me, He arrested my heart. He arrested my soul in a way that I cannot convey or even show to anybody else. God stepped into that hotel room that night in London, Kentucky. He told me without any doubt that he had called me to preach the word of God. So I understand it now, and I look at it from a little bit of a different perspective. I see this, that this is a high calling, so much to the point that for me to walk away from the ministry, I would be stepping down if I went to be the president of the United States. I don't know what that means in our day today, but I believe that it would be a step down to walk away from the work of God to go and be a world leader. But I'll be very straight and transparent with you. I absolutely do believe. I am convinced that there are a lot of people, however, out there that are trying to have this high calling, this spiritual leadership role, but they have never had the call of God upon their life. God has not moved into their world. God has not put his hand upon their life. God has not called them. They know nothing of the high calling of God. So with respect to a pastor, this spiritual leader, it is important that all of us in our lives, that we know that there is folks in our lives that are to have that place of authority when it comes to spiritual matters. There must be that searching out and that secured authority, that high calling. So when you are looking for somebody to be a counselor to you, somebody to be a ruler to you, spiritually speaking, we must first of all understand that they've got to have a high calling. But you also need to understand as well that they need to be determined, and you can determine that based upon their humble conduct. The high calling will reveal, or should reveal, a humble conduct. If you got your Bibles open to Titus chapter 1, the Bible says in verse number 7, he says, for a bishop, once again we are referring here to a pastor, listen to this, must be blameless as the steward of God. He says right here, not self-willed, not soon angry, no striker. Verse number 8 says, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate. He just outlined some things there that disqualifies many of us on a daily basis. It is an effort that we strive toward, though, as God gives us a brand new day to live. There are a great number of men that are out there today seeking the role of a pastor or a spiritual leader, and they give the impression all the time that they are angry and mad about everything. We talked about that last week a little while, didn't we? They are mad about everything. They are barking about this issue. They are barking about that issue. They are doing it in a way that they give the impression of hate more than they give the impression of God's Spirit and the touch of God that is resting upon their lives. They love to boast about their titles, love to boast about the degrees that they have hanging on the wall. But I want everybody to listen to me very closely on this Sunday night. I believe that somebody that is qualified to be a spiritual leader, it must be someone that goes to people that they are attempting to lead and make sure that he conveys to them that that spiritual leader realizes that he is nothing more than a hell-bound, hell-deserving wretch, deserves nothing but the very worst that hell could ever have to offer, and were it not for the grace of God that one day stepped into his life, he would have woke up this morning in a ditch. His life would have been ruined in every way. He wouldn't have a family. He would be facing prison or death even. That's what a spiritual leader is. Somebody who understands we are nobody outside of what God's grace has done in stepping in to our lives. Somebody has put it this way, and I like it. In order to be a spiritual leader, a man must first have followers. And to have a follower, a man must have their confidence, the confidence of the follower. Listen further now. Hence, the supreme quality of a spiritual leader is unquestionable integrity. Unquestionable integrity. If a man's associates find him guilty of phoniness, if they find that he lacks forthright integrity, he will fail. His teaching and his actions must square with each other. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if a man does not have your heart, if a man does not, when you look at him in your mind and when you look at him in your life, if you do not see unquestionable integrity, if you do not see somebody that's going to point you in the right ways of God based upon the authority of God's word, don't you go join that church. Don't you go seek counsel from anybody, from somebody like that. You need to understand that they must have upright integrity in every way. No spiritual leader is perfect, but the ones that we want to follow in our lives are the ones who have no problem admitting their imperfections. Amen. Admitting that the only way that they're going to be able to help you is because they're coming holding the hand of an almighty God. There must be a high calling in this secured authority. There must be a humble conduct in it, but you need to know that it has to be rooted in a holy content. I refer to the Word of God. We find that in verse number 9 of Titus chapter 1, the Bible says, holding fast, I love that, holding fast the faithful word, that is the word of God, as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine. You learned your doctrine through what? The Word of God. A spiritual leader, now listen to me carefully, a spiritual leader cannot go beyond the authority that he is given in the Word of God. Amen. There are a lot of folks out there today that are attempting to be spiritual leaders, but yet they are attempting to expand their authority beyond the confines of the Word of God. And I want you to understand, friends, that never works. If you want long-term results, you better stay in the Word of God. The only counsel that you've got that's going to help anybody at the end of the day is what you find in the Word of God. Everything else is going to cause confusion. It's going to cause division. I'm telling you, it will cause rebellion. It will cause a lack of respect and credibility toward the spiritual leader. I understand we dealt with a little bit this last week as well. I get all of that. But the reason that we are losing people to the left side and to the right side is because of rebellion. There have been things that we have been addressed and dealing with all in the wrong way, expanding our authority outside of the Word of God. We've made a commitment to you in the very beginning that during this tough topics for today's church, that we are going to speak when the Bible speaks. We will be silent when the Bible is silent. We are not going to be beholding to the left side or the right side. We're not leaning to the left or leaning to the right. We're standing up straight on the authority of the Word of God. Listen, we all need spiritual leadership in our lives. We all need it. I need it. And you need it.
Amen.
But I want to reiterate again that before we go joining a church, or before we go seeking any form of counsel in our life for the battles that we are dealing with, we must first make sure that they are a God-called individual, that they present themselves and live by total integrity, and that they stand upon the Word of God. If you're still with me, say amen.
Amen.
So we'll deal a little further with that in just a moment. But that is the authority that is secured. But I want you to notice the second thing. Not only the authority that is secured, but there is the approach. That is serious. We are moving now from the one that is giving the counsel, the authoritative voice in our, spiritually speaking, in our lives, to the one that is receiving the counsel. And the severity of it, and how we need to approach it in a serious way. Now that we know that there is a secured biblical authority that God has given to us in His Word, how are we to respect and respond to it? Now, most people, they will tell you that they want spiritual leadership. They'll tell you that they want spiritual counsel. They'll want some guidance. But you can tell how genuinely serious they are by the way they respect it and the way that they respond to it. Yeah. Now, the writer of Hebrews here, he is laying out a few other things. The writer first teaches us that though we may have a spiritual leader, and though he may line up with the various things that we just discussed and what has to be for a spiritual leader, you and I as followers, we need to be people that have a sensitive workman's heart. We must be a sensitive workman. Now, we're back in our text. Verse number 17 of Hebrews 13. We'll stay there the rest of the night. The Bible says here, obey them that have the rule over who? Over you. Obey them that have the rule over you. Now, just remind us again, spiritually speaking and in life in general, people have rule over us. And he's saying here that we are to obey them. But now follow me as we study the Word of God. The word rule that is spoken of here, obey them that have the rule. The word rule, it actually means to lead. It actually means to give guidance. Mostly, of course, spiritually. In other words, somebody that's going to lead us in the ways of God. Somebody that's going to guide us in the ways of God. Now remember, the one who has the rule spiritually over us, that spiritual leader in a church, that is the pastor. Now you can look at the home and you can certainly look at the man being the spiritual leader in the home and the responsibility that there is to be in that. But we're dealing primarily in this text with the church. The spiritual leader, now understand, the reason that they are a spiritual leader is because you have willfully, and with no one twisting your arm, placed yourself under their spiritual leadership.
Amen.
I have never one time sought out somebody to join this church. God's been so good to us. But I have never one time sought out somebody to join this church. If they want to join this church, I'm happy to talk to them. I don't open, if you've noticed, the doors of the church in an invitation. You only have to make one mistake with that to learn that you don't do that. I talk to people first because we need to make sure that members of the Lord's church understand that there are responsibilities that God's people have to His church. You willingly joined a church. You willingly placed yourself under the authority of the local church. And I'm talking about spiritually speaking, within the confines of the Word of God. Everybody's understanding me, right?
Amen.
Talking about in the Word of God, okay? Look at the word obey that is given to us here. The word obey, it means, now get this, it means to persuade. Do you hear that? It means to persuade. It means to win over by listening. Boy, we struggle with listening, don't we? We just want to talk, 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 talk. We don't want to listen sometimes. But in other words, he's saying to win over by listening. In other words, it means shutting our mouths and opening our ears. And with an open heart.
Amen.
Listening. And that's why I'm calling this a sensitive workman, one that is sensitive to listen to the counsel that is being given from the Word of God. There are so many people in churches who will actually seek out to find forms of counsel, but they do it with reluctance. They do it even with a preconceived notion that the spiritual leader they are seeking counsel from already has an agenda and is against them. And to a degree, they have already made their mind up and that they are not going to follow that spiritual counsel because they aren't. There's no way that spiritual leader can understand everything that they are going through in life. Let me give you a news flash. Will you let me do this graciously? Nobody understands everything that you are dealing with in life. That is why you seek the counsel of somebody who comes, and you know they come holding literally the hand of God. Somebody that's going to give you a word from God, a word from His Word. They agree to counsel, do they not? But the only reason they do it is to keep the peace. Maybe in the family, or maybe in the situation. That's the only reason they'll do it, or to prevent themselves from looking bad. As the person who's not willing to pursue counsel and to answer to that counsel, but they have no intention of listening. Their ears are closed. Their heart is closed before they even sit down to have the counsel. Now you need to understand this. Their minds are made up. They're not going any further. But here's what you need to understand. God's word says to seek out this counsel and to willingly listen with the intent of being persuaded, won over, based on the authority of that spiritual leader and the position that he takes on the word of God. It should not be hard to be won over by the word of God. Amen. But our hearts so oftentimes are so shut to things that even God's word, we shut ourselves off to. There must be a sensitive workman. But listen, that's the easy part. Believe that or not. The easy part is opening your ears and opening your heart. Because then the writer also speaks of a submitted way. The easy part's listening. The submitting part is the tough part. I hope you got your Bible open again in verse number 17. And submit yourselves. Do you see that? And submit yourselves. Can I tell you what that word submit tells us, translated out of the Greek here? That word submit, it means to yield in weakness. To yield in weakness. And it is referring to how the position that we take is weak compared to the position that the spiritual leader takes on the Word of God. You know, you go into certain meetings. Stand up, Brother Randy. Put your Bible down because I'm going to knock you over here. It's a massive physique of mine. Sometimes we go into meetings and we just bulk up. We go into it and we're just going to fight it. We're just going to do what we can to push back. But do you know what the Bible is saying? He's saying that we are to go in and we are to go and we're to listen. And then when our flesh wants to bulk up against it, he says that what we are going to do is submit in weakness and go backwards based on the authority of the Word of God. No matter how bad it may go against our flesh, no matter how much we may not want to submit to it, the Word of God has full authority over our lives, and we must submit to what the Scripture tells us. It is not enough to just listen. But we've got to do some things as well. James tells us that, doesn't he? He says, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I want you to understand that, yes, it's going to require us swallowing some of our pride. Yes, it's going to be some uncomfortable moments. Yes, it's going to cost us, in some cases, some money. Yes, hey, yes, 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 it's going to be frustrating at times. Yes, it's going to take a long time and a lot of patience, but it has to be done. The reason many of us are getting no help is because we have allowed our lives to get so far off track spiritually that when we are actually confronted with what it is going to take for us to get back on track, we have no interest in doing that. It's culture shock to us. It's going to cost us too much to get right with God. And so therefore what we'll do is by our own choice, we will continue to live in the mess that we are, continue to bring everybody else along into it with us, hurting our people that we know, hurting the people we love in the church, but we are not willing to fix it. He is saying we've got to listen. You have to go into counsel. You have to have an open heart. And one thing we've been talking about all through this series, you've got to realize that it's possible you could be wrong. Amen. That goes against the standard of living for the average professing believer in our day. They don't think they're wrong. But it is possible that you could be wrong. And you've got to go into spiritual counsel with the understanding that you could be wrong. You need to listen, and then in weakness to the Word of God, submit yourself to what the Scripture is saying. That's why many of us won't. We won't submit because it's culture shock. To get back on track, it's going to take so long, and it's going to take so much. Now, I want you to get this in your heart. This will help us. The difference between the Christian life of victory and the Christian life of victimhood is the Christian life of victory is willing to address the tough topics, meet them head on, and do what you've got to do to fix them, no matter how long it takes, no matter how bad it's going to hurt, no matter how much it's going to cost you. You are determined. You are dedicated. You're going to walk with God. You're going to get right with God, and you're going to submit to the Word of God, and you're going to live in His way. Amen. Otherwise, people are just victims, aren't they? Yeah. Victimhood. The only way victory is going to come in a life is when you pour yourself under the authority of the Word of God and we submit to it. When we look at the verse and this construction of the verse, we will notice that it does not say evaluate what the spiritual leader says. Hey, see if you like it. See if you agree with it. Evaluate it all out. Calculate the difficulty of the road ahead for you and then decide. No, he gives us no choice. He says, do it. Do it. You see, if we had enough confidence in the call, the conduct, and the content, the Word of God, of that spiritual leader to place ourselves under the rule of the spiritual leader and under that counsel, if we had enough confidence in that, unless he tells you something that is way off the wall or outside, of course, of the boundaries of the Word of God, unless he tells you something like that, the decision of whether you are going to listen and submit to it should have been made before you even made the appointment to go and seek counsel from somebody that you have confidence in all of those areas that we had talked about, especially if you were the one that sought the counsel. That is the responsibility of the believer. But the reason that we should be a sensitive workman and the reason that we should have a submitted way is simply because they are a spiritual watchman. Now look at verse number 17 again. The Bible says, for they watch for your soul. I want you to understand that is a profound statement. Wouldn't you agree, Brother Blake? In the Word of God. They watch for your soul. You know, Brother Ethan did such a wonderful job a couple of weeks ago preaching on this and dealing with this word watchman and the watchman. And this word watch that we see, it means literally sleepless. To keep awake. It is pointing us back, as Ethan told us back a few weeks ago, to those Old Testament passages back there, to where you would have the watchman that would stand up all night long on the city walls. He would be up there all night long in the dark and the cold and the dangerous night, and he would be watching for the enemy that would come into the land that would bring damage to the people and harm to the people. The reason that we must be sensitive and the reason that we must submit is because they lay awake at night. It is because they are keeping their eyes open, watching on the city walls of your life for the enemy that is trying to make its way into your life. Understand, friends, the enemy is trying to get into your life. They're trying to destroy your life. And I'm going to say something here that many of you may not agree with, but I assure you that it is the truth. Someone who is watching for your soul, they can see what you cannot see, but you think you can see. They can see when you slip spiritually. They can see when you lose that glow of God's glory and joy all over your face. They can see when you have no longer a hunger for the Word of God. They can see when you begin to pull away from attendance and action and attitude in the things of God. They can see it. The only way that you will be able to survive defiance against the Word of God through His spiritual leader is because God in His mercy has somebody in your corner that is laying awake for you with eyes open at night, watching everything that every enemy is trying to get into your world and is on their face in a supernatural world, begging God to have mercy on your situation. You need spiritual leadership. You may ask, but Brother John, what if the matter that I need help with is not one that is clearly given in the Word of God? Can we just call it a gray area that some may say? What if the matter that we need help in, that's just gray, it's not clearly given in the Word of God, do I still have an obligation to submit to that spiritual leadership? In other words, you can't find scripture on verse of you should or should not do whatever it is that you're facing. And you will come to those days in your life that you cannot find black and white and red print of what you can and cannot do in your life. And again, folks, if we've been totally honest and we've laid out the news, the good, bad, and the ugly, and He knows every detail, your spiritual counselor knows every detail, and you've been totally honest with them, and unless they tell you something out of the Word of God or so far off the wall that is just ridiculous, if you place yourself under that individual's leadership and you have confidence in His call, His conduct, and His content, the Word of God, I absolutely believe you do. I absolutely believe that you go ahead and you submit to that. Why do you say that, Brother John? I think we find the answer to that in our third and final thought. For there isn't only the authority that is secured, and then we see the approach that is serious, but there is the account that will be settled. The Bible tells us here in verse number 17 that very truth. Now that we have established the fact, we've got this spiritual authority in our life, and we have got to submit to this spiritual authority, we need to understand the motivation as to why we really should do that. And the first thing I want you to consider about that is because of a reality that is looming. There is a reality looming. Verse 17 says, as they that must give account. Now, how many of you believe this is the Word of God? Amen. Anybody shaken in the fact that this is the holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant Word of God? If you believe this is the Word of God, then you need to understand this and you need to accept it. The Bible says that they that must give account. All right, let's break it down again. May we do that? It's a tough topic, isn't it? This word account that is given to us, it is a very interesting word. It is the Greek word logos, and it is actually speaking, listen to this, of the reckoning that one will give because of word or mouth. And do you know that it goes both ways? It goes to the one that is offering the counsel and the one that is to obey the counsel. It is in part referring to that spiritual leader who will one day stand before that very righteous God that you will and give an account for the counsel that He offered to you and the fruit that is yielded from it, or the spoil that is yielded from it, and that will last for all of eternity. The account that must be settled. In other words, friends, at the judgment seat of Christ, the spiritual leader is going to expose himself to a great deal of liability because the counsel that he gave to you as that spiritual leader is going to be something that he is going to be judged for by Almighty God.
Amen.
And he should understand the fact the counsel that he is giving could be detrimental. That's why you better stay in the Word of God. You'll never go wrong by giving people the counsel of God's Word. But I tell you, in our flesh, when we step out of the Word of God, and we talked about this last week, there are boundaries that we are to live in that God said, but there's a lot of boundaries. God has not made this thing nearly as complicated as man has made it. Man has created boundaries that God did not create. And we have found ourselves in a situation to where we look down on everything and everybody because they are not aligning with man's boundary. I challenge you, you do not do that. You stay in line with the boundaries of the Word of God. You see, that counselor, he ought to understand that he is exposing himself to a great deal of liability because the advice, the counsel, the guidance that he gives could be detrimental to him when he stands before God. Look further at verse number 17. That they may do it with joy. That spiritual counsel may go about the work of God. The counsel being given, offered and obeyed, that he may do it with joy. Happiness, knowing that you're walking further and closer with the very God of your creation. Considering all of this, the writer of Hebrews, he is simply letting us know that the job of the spiritual leader, that we need to make it as easy as possible as we can on them. We need to understand that. We need to make it as easily as possible as we can on them. We should not intentionally, spiritually speaking, keep them awake at night. Frustrated because of the spiritual defiance that we have in our lives. Having to pray our way through the night so that God will show mercy upon the circumstances that we are faced with. We must not get frustrated. We must not get offended, and we must not get angry at our spiritual leader. Why? Because they are ministering to our soul with an eye fixed firmly on the judgment seat of Christ, at which not only you are going to have to give an account, but the spiritual leader is going to have to give an account to as well. We need to be ever mindful that there is a reality looming. So if you stood before God tonight, and you need to understand you could, Jesus could come. This thing could all be over. Highway 27 may call your number, my number, on the way home tonight. And if you went into eternity tonight, can you honestly stand before God with your head held high, saying that you're totally, completely, thoroughly, altogether right with God? With this matter of spiritual leadership or anything? You see, there is a reality looming. And for many of us, there will be a regretful loss. You look in the Bible again in verse number 17. For that is unprofitable for you. It is unprofitable for you. The word unprofitable, it means gainless. It means not advantageous. It means not making good of the expense involved. You know what he's really saying here? He is simply saying that the investment of life that you've made and all the good things that you have done for God all through your life, you may learn that you have no return on because you did not line up with God's word on this one issue. Can I put it this way? You may have walked every street in the county knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. You may have given your tithe every Sunday. You may have given your mission offering every time that you were required to do so. You may have given to the lamp of learning, scholarship. You may have been the one that was worshiping God. You may have been the one that was mowing the grass. You may have been the one that was taking care of the buildings. You may have been the one that was aligning the bricks or straightening the chairs. You may have been the one that had your hands in the toilet trying to fix the water lines or crawling up under the building to get a possum out. You may have been the one doing all these things. And there may be an expectation that you and I may have that one day when we get on the other side that we are going to gain a reward for it. But we are going to learn that we have got a regretful loss because we did not fall in line with the spiritual leadership that God had put in our lives. And all those rewards, oh dear God, we'll say all those rewards that we could have had. that they're going to be lost. But pastor, you may say, I didn't listen to counsel. And maybe you're thinking about this now. I didn't listen to counsel, but everything worked out just fine for me. Please don't think that. See, you have no idea how much greater things could have been for God. God just simply showed you mercy. And the only reason some of those things may have worked out is because you had a watchman. You had somebody that had their eyes open through the night. They were laying awake through the night, praying you through defiance. God had mercy on your situation. And though you may have experienced some good things through it, and you may not have listened to the guidance, and you did fine with it, you may have missed what God really had. God may have had a bigger barrel that He wanted to pour out upon you, but you missed it because you were defiant and you went your own way. What a tragedy it would be to be saved, but to appear before the judgment seat of Christ and find yourself with regret because we learned that we were unprofitable. Unprofitable. And we have far less than we could have had because we did not listen and submit to spiritual leadership. Brother John, I'm guilty of this. I'm glad you know you are, because I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of this. So what do I do? I said in the very beginning that this was a tough topic. One of the reasons it was a tough topic is because it was difficult for me to deliver just as much as it is for you to receive. Can you understand why? Preachers don't preach on this to their congregations because people get the idea, well, he just wants power. Dictator wants to tell me everything that I can and cannot do, and if I don't do it, I'll feel this tall. No, that's not it at all. But it's a spiritual truth. It's in the Word of God. It's a tough topic, and we need to know it. We need to know why these matters are important. And if you, as I, have been guilty of being defiant against spiritual leadership in your life, can I tell you, God in His mercy has a blood that can cleanse it entirely. Amen. The reason that this has been such a tough topic for me is because when I study this, my heart is smote by it. For all the times that in the 30 plus years that I was not willing to be sensitive to listen and to submit to the spiritual leadership that God had placed in my life. And so with full disclosure, this is the truth. I often wonder if some of the things that I've had to deal with and matters that have been difficult in the ministry are the result. Can I put it this way? Payback for times that I did not obey the spiritual leadership that God had put in my life. All the times that I, even with good intentions, just went my own way. I think I know better. I think I'm going to do this. And the fact of the matter is, you know, Brother Daniel, I just, in my heart, God knew I didn't respect what I was hearing. God saw that, and God sees. God sees the heart. And I've often wondered, dear God, when is Your judgment going to end on me for these issues? When will that term, statute of limitation, when will that expire? And I found myself, ladies and gentlemen, on more than one occasion, many of occasions, going to God. There's one particular thing I found myself going to the Lord over and over and over again about, because the consequences of some things have been vast in the lives of hundreds of people that I did not listen to spiritual leadership on. And I said, "Dear God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And there's even been times that I've had to pick up the telephone and say, "Hey, brother, I'm calling you long distance, a distant state, a distant country. And I just want to tell you that I'm sorry that I didn't listen to the spiritual leadership, guidance, counsel that you gave me. I understand now I'm in violation to the Word of God because they lined up with the call, the conduct, and the content. But I still chose to go my own way. And I did not have respect for it." "Brother John, I understand because I'm guilty of the same. And the only thing I can tell you to do is what I have done time and time again as God brings it to my mind is fall down on your unworthy face, pleading the blood of Jesus, saying, 'Dear God, I've messed up. I want to be better for you. Oh God, the tough topic, it speaks to me, and I want to be better for you, and I'm asking you to forgive me of this. And from this day forward, I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk out of this building understanding the importance of spiritual leadership.'" And the people of God said, "Let's rise to our feet quietly and reverently in the house of God. Miss Mickey is coming to the piano."